Good to have everyone back again tonight. I'd like to encourage you, if you would, to go to Luke, the 14th chapter, the text that was just read for us this evening. You know, in our text, we find that Jesus was beginning to have an enthusiastic group of followers. But how many of them really understood the kind of commitment that they were making, the kind of commitment that Jesus was seeking? Jesus turned to them and asked them if they had any idea of what following him would consist of, what it would cost them. Did they realize that by following him, they would sometimes be completely alienated from their families? Did they realize that following him would sometimes cost them the good favor of man? At times, it would cost them to be despised and persecuted. Did they realize that following him might call for them to sacrifice the material things of this life? And yet Jesus said, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whoever does not, Jesus said, cannot be my disciple. You know, Jesus wasn't looking for a fan club. He wasn't looking for those who would turn out in droves to hear him speak and then applaud his words. He was looking for those who would deny themselves and follow him. Those who would surrender their self-will and allow him to rule their lives. Jesus was looking for, Jesus still is looking for, disciples. You know, the term disciple is found over 260 times in the New Testament. The meaning is twofold. The primary meaning is one who is a pupil or learner, but it also conveys the idea of discipline. And so a disciple is one who learns from the teaching of another and then conforms his life to what he's learned. Jesus' invitation to man is an invitation to become a disciple. In Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." To be a disciple of Jesus means that we must surrender our life to him and then learn and submit to the kind of life that he would have us to live. Sometimes we make a mistake of confusing discipleship with church membership. Now, certainly all true disciples will be found in the church, but not everyone who is in the church or considers himself to be in the church is truly a disciple of Jesus. Being a church member may bring us out on Sunday morning, maybe even Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Being a disciple will send us out into the world to live for Jesus daily. Being a church member may cause you to make a token contribution of your money and your time, the same way that we might donate to the American Cancer Society or the March of Dimes. But being a disciple will cause us to give ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, as Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 2. The Lord never claimed to be recruiting church members. He never told us to conduct membership drives. He told us to make disciples. Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, the true blessings of Christianity, the power to overcome sin, the assurance, the peace of mind, the hope and the joy and the faith, don't come simply because you are a member of the church. They come as the result of being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, what must be done in order for us to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, this morning I want to notice five different things that Jesus said would be true of his disciples. Things that we must do in order to be his disciple. First of all, in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must put him first in our lives. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The thing that many fail to realize is that there is only one place that Jesus is willing to occupy in our life, and that is first place. Being a disciple is an all-or-nothing proposition. Either we are or we are not. Jesus said we are either for him or we are against him. Jesus does not want us to volunteer a little bit of our time and a little bit of our money. Jesus doesn't want what we have. What Jesus wants is us. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. To be a disciple of Jesus means that He is the focus. He is the center of our life. Being a disciple of Jesus, we must love Him more than money or material things. We can't love God with all of our heart if we live for wealth. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Matthew, the 19th chapter, he wanted to follow Jesus, but he wasn't willing to become a disciple. Jesus made him choose between him and his money. But because he loved his money more than he loved the Lord, or even the prospects of eternal life, he went away sorrowfully. If there's anything in the world that means more to us than Jesus, then it is our God. And we cannot be a disciple of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus means that we must love Him more than we love our family. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, the word hate cannot be taken literally. The Bible commands us to love our mother and our father and our husband and our wife and our children. And the Christian will not neglect his family. But the word hate used by Jesus is a word of degree. We must love them less, significantly less, than we love Him. And if we're ever in a position of having to choose between our family and our Lord, then we must choose Christ. To be a disciple means that we must be willing to sacrifice for Him. We must carry a cross, even as He carried a cross for us. Jesus said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must love Him more than we even love our own life. You know, any man whose greatest concern is for his safety and well-being will never be a hero. You know, we have seen some very visible demonstrations of heroics in the very traumatic world in which we find ourselves living. You know, you go back to 9/11, 2001, where those towers were blown up. And everyone was trying to get away. And there were 300 or 400 firemen, first responders, policemen, who were going in when everyone else was coming out. I read a story when we were living in Cambridge. It involved a man who was from Cambridge. And he had been in Kentucky, had been driving through Kentucky, and he saw a truck wreck, and the cab of that truck was engulfed in flames. And the possibility of his becoming seriously burned himself was great. But to go to the aid of one who was in need meant more to him than his own life. He didn't give it a second thought. He went to the cab of that truck. He pulled the man out. He had to roll the man on the ground in order to extinguish the flame because his clothing was on fire. And in the process, he suffered some serious burns himself. But there was a life that was saved. Saving that man meant more to him at that moment than his own life. Well, Jesus said that we must love Him more than we love our life. And you know, it's really more than just a question of whether or not we would die for Christ. You know, we can sit in relative safety and talk about, yes, if it became necessary, I believe that I would die for Christ. And for a Christian, I guess that could be a possibility. But the true question is, am I willing to live for Christ? You know, some of us are selfish. We say, this is my life, and I want to spend it doing the things that are pleasing to me. But we can't do that and be His disciple. In Matthew 10 and verse 39, Jesus said, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And so what is necessary to be a disciple of Christ? We must die to self and put Him first. If we don't, then we cannot be His disciple. Secondly, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we must take on the identity of Jesus. In Acts 11, chapter in the 26th verse, we're told that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And there's so much more to that than meets the eye. The term Christian is more than just a name. It isn't something just to paint on a sign and hang over a door. The term Christian is a description. It means belonging to Christ or even Christ-like. The best way of describing those in the first century, those disciples of the first century, was that they were like Jesus. This is a necessary part of discipleship. Not only must we stop doing that which is evil, we must begin to follow the example that Jesus set for us. And since Jesus went about doing good, then we also must be about doing good. Since Jesus was kind and pure and patient and loving, then we also must be kind and pure and patient and loving. When we are baptized, we put to death our old attitudes and bury them. We become a blank page and we let Jesus take over. Let him use us. Let him make us over in his image. And when that happens, his thoughts become our thoughts. And then our hands become his hands. And our feet become his feet. We surrender so completely to his will that when people look at us, they see Jesus. When Paul talked about this process in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must take upon his nature. Thirdly, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must continue in his word. In John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, we are told that as Jesus spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. Notice that Jesus made a distinction between those who believed in him and those who believed him. There were those who admired Jesus, respected him, those who were convinced that he was the Son of God, but they were not his disciples. What was necessary for them to be a disciple? Jesus said, if you abide in my words, in other words, if you hear me, believe me, and obey me, then you are my disciple indeed. Christianity today is represented by many people who respect Jesus and admire his teachers, his teachings, those who believe in him, but they are not his disciples because they do not believe or obey him. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? You know, we can't be a disciple of Jesus and be indifferent to what he has written. We have to obey his word and abide in it. And we can't do that if we don't even know what is written. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must allow him to lead and instruct us, which is what he does in his word. It's what he does in the Bible. No disciple, no true disciple, is ever content with the knowledge that he has of God's word. We're told of the blessed man in the first Psalm. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates both day and night. As we spend time reading and studying and meditating on the written word of God, it will begin to change us. We will find that God's thoughts become our thoughts. And instead of responding to that which happens around us simply in terms of man's wisdom, then we begin to think in terms of what God has written. And in the process of doing so, we truly become disciples of Jesus. Fourthly, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we must love one another. John 13, verses 34 and 5, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." What did Jesus say is the true mark of discipleship? He said, it's our love one for another. You know, a stranger may come into our services. They may not know the first thing about the Church of Christ, what we stand for. They may not know why we worship as we do, or why we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, or why we do not use an instrument of music, or why we baptize. And as a stranger, we couldn't expect them to know these things. But one thing that a stranger will be able to see, and that is whether we love one another, and whether we show that love toward them. That is the first impression that they will have of the church, and it's the first judgment that they will make. And Jesus said that they are justified in making that judgment because those who are truly His disciples will love one another. We can be faithful in all of the doctrines of the New Testament, but if we do not have love for one another, then we are not the followers of Jesus. Jesus' command to love one another is just as important. It is just as much the doctrine of Christ as is the commandment to be baptized or to worship or to commune. Too many people have a concept of a strong Christian as one who is rather negative and finds fault very easily and would rather condemn his brother than have fellowship with him. But that's not Christianity. There should be no greater desire in our heart than to have fellowship with all of our brethren. Now, if there's truly something spiritually wrong in our brother's life, because we love him, we will seek to restore him. But the intention of that is not to chase him away. The intention of that is to keep him closer to the cross. It's to keep him in fellowship. Because if he's in fellowship with the Lord and I'm in fellowship with the Lord, then we will be in fellowship with one another. And walking in the light as he's in the light is the source of that fellowship. And so if I have a brother Christian who is not walking in the light, then I need to seek to restore him. But the last thing in my heart, my last desire is to find, should be, to find a reason to destroy that fellowship. Christianity is not individualism. It comes with a family. It comes with responsibilities to one another, our brethren. God has not given us the choice of whether we want to be a Christian who's involved in the church or a Christian who is not involved in the church. Because if one is truly saved, then the Lord adds those who are saved to the church. In John, 1 John 4 and verse 20, John says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." And so to be a disciple of Jesus, we must love one another. Well, finally, if we wish to be a disciple of Jesus, we must bear fruit. John 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Fruit bearing is what makes one a disciple of Christ. In John 15 and verse 2, Jesus tells us the results of failing to bear fruit. "Every branch of one that bears no fruit shall be taken away." And then in verse 6, he says, and he added that those branches that do not bear fruit shall be cast into the fire. Now we've talked about what a disciple of Jesus is. Bearing fruit is what he does. Discipleship is more than just knowing what Jesus taught. It is doing what he did. There are many kinds of fruit which the scriptures say that we as Christians are to bear. There's the fruit of repentance. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist demanded those who came to be baptized of him to bear the fruits of repentance. That means some outward evidence that you have truly changed within. It is to change. It is to reform your life. To put away your sinful habits and attitudes and practices. we must bear the fruit of repentance. There is the fruit of growth. Following after the Spirit of Christ, we will begin to take on His image. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 3, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control." How well have you succeeded in bringing your human spirit under subjection to God's Spirit? Are you living a life that is evidenced by joy and happiness and patience and humility? These are the fruits of one that a Christian must bear. These are the fruits that we will bear if we are truly disciples of Jesus. There is the fruit of worship. Hebrews 13 and verse 13 says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And so are you worshipful? Do you take time daily to think about God? Do you find occasions to praise Him? God expects us to. Worship is the sacrifice of the new covenant. It is a sweet-smelling savor. It is the fruit of praise. There is the fruit that comes from sowing seed. One fruit that we should all strive to bear is to win someone for Christ. And the only way that this fruit can be produced is by teaching the gospel to those who are lost. We know that Jesus' purpose, that His focus, was to seek and to save the lost. How can we really follow Him and be content to do less? You know, I believe that you might be able to go to heaven if you've never won anyone to Christ. But I doubt if we can, if we've never tried. Look around. The fields are already ripe unto harvest. Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of harvest to send forth reapers." I don't want to stand before God empty-handed. Do you? A disciple of Christ will bear fruit. Jesus said, "Much fruit." And as a result, God will be glorified, and we will be His disciples indeed. Tonight, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? You can be. But this lifetime journey must begin with a single step, and that is obedience to His will. Jesus said that we must believe and repent and confess Him and be baptized. This is what removes us from the world and makes us one of Christ's disciples. And then we must put His kingdom first. We must take on the identity of Jesus. We must continue in His word. We must love one another. And we must bear much fruit for the Father. Jesus calls us to be a disciple. Tonight, is it your desire to follow Jesus? Well, the invitation is yours tonight. The opportunity is ours tonight. That if that has not been the focus of our life, that we can begin living our life in that way. If you're not a Christian, be obedient to the gospel. If you are a Christian, but you're one who has allowed so many things in the world to take away from your soul commitment, which is to serve Jesus, then I believe that all of us can examine our hearts and get our lives back on track. And it may be that as a Christian, you need the prayers and the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we're here. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we encourage you to do that while together we stand and while we sing.